Man, it's good to be here this morning. Chris and I were traveling last week, and we got back and just didn't make it. But it's good to be back. And it's funny how things work. I've said it before. God works through people. And he works through people that have no idea they're actually working together. We went old school with the singing today. Today's message is going to be old school. We're going back into the Old Testament, into Genesis. And I'll be honest, it is vacation inspired. Chris and I went down 2 weeks ago. And we went to Tennessee, and we were headed down, and we knew we were going to stop, and we stopped at the Ark Encounter. I don't know how many of you have ever been there. Several. What a job Noah took on. Wow. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer first, and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for everything that you do for us and the way that the rain comes when we need the rain, and the sun comes and it gets hot when we need the sun and we need the heat. Lord, I just ask that you take me and use me as your instrument and shut my mind down and just give me the words that you want me to speak, Lord, and give the congregation ears so that they hear what you want them to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. So this Ark Encounter, and the title of the message today is God Can Use You. And pretty simple. I am pretty simple. But when we had no idea. I mean, I had talked to Les about this place, and he said, "Matt, it's a good experience," and he said, "It's just something you got to see." And you know, I am history guy. Okay, there's several Civil War battlefields down there near this place that someday I will go see. But this part of history with Noah kind of intrigues me as well, because number one, I had questions. How big is this boat? Let me tell you something. This boat is huge. Huge. You know, we here did it in however many cubits and whatever, but that doesn't translate with me because I'm not a builder. Les and Jesse may know what a cubit is. I do not. How much? 18 inches. So, to me, it meant nothing when I'm reading the story. I have to go see it. And, you know, and we heard that he took, well, we're just going to get into it first. And we're going to start in chapter 6, and it's going to be a lot of reading. But here we go. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive. And they took as their wives, and they chose any they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years." The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of the old, the men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, "I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So I'm just going to stop right there because this is the one time that we see that God has regretted. He did not. He was dismayed that he made mankind here. He was willing to get rid of all of them. All of it. All of it. Thankfully, in verse 8, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So we're going to go here in chapter or verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. So I'm just going to do that math here based on what Les told me. So it's a foot and a half. That's 450 foot long. That's a football field and a half. And I didn't really ever do that math before, but when I walked up to this thing, I was just like, it is massive. So then it got me processing, okay, Lord, something this massive, why did it have to be so big? But then I got thinking, okay, I know what all was on there, right? We'll get into that here. Let's keep going. 50 cubits wide, so that's 75 feet wide, and its height 30 cubits, 45 feet high. It seemed a lot higher than that. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark at its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing on the ground according to its own kind, two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten, and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. I'm going to stop right there. Anybody want to guess how old Noah was when his first son was born? Bo, you remember? We just talked about it. I believe, and this is, I learned this there, 500 years old when his first son was born. Because we think of Noah, and we think, okay, when he got on the ark, he had three sons. Those sons appeared to be in their 50s. Those sons were, oldest one was 100. Because it says Noah went on the ark when he was 600 years old. Okay? And there's quizzes down there. There's things like little I don't know, you can get a paper, I think, and go around to all the little stations. And one of the stations was, how long did it take Noah to build the ark? One of the guesses was 5 years, one was 55 years, one was 75 years, and one was 100 years. Anybody know how long it took him? Les does. He paid attention in school. 100 years to build this thing. And after seeing it, I believe it. Because they didn't have a crane that they could get up on and just keep building higher. They had to build a level, then the next level, then the next level. And even at that, those guys had to be daredevils to build it this way. But this thing was perfect, much like God's plan. But my whole point to that was God used Noah when Noah was 500 years old and 600 years old. You don't think he can use 54-year-old Matt or 26-year-old Skyler, or I'm not even going to go to any more ages. I don't want to offend anybody. I mean, Neil's 27, so we should be good. But he can use you if you're willing. So, you know, when we first read the story of Noah, when I was told the story of Noah when I was a kid, I was like, okay, you know, Noah had to endure this ridicule for 6-7 months while building this ark. 100 years! 100 years! And part of that, he had to do it on his own because his sons were not old enough to help. But then as we walked into this and we saw the two of every kind, you know, to me, I was thinking, okay, there's a lion, a tiger, a giraffe, elephant. I mean, some of the animals on this thing were crazy. Dinosaurs? You ever think about dinosaurs being on the ark? They sure look like dinosaurs. And it also says in here they stored up all the food of every kind. Can anybody process that? I couldn't. Until I saw the sides, the walls of the ark had trays built in them for all the pots, for all the grain, for the water, the oils, the whatever. It was absolutely amazing the detail that went into the building of this ship. God's plan for us is perfect. It went into such detail as, do you know, they brought moths on the ark. I never thought of it. You know how they stored the moths? In a clay pot with cheesecloth over the top so that they could put water in there. Fish, all the reptiles, that same way. Pretty amazing. And to me, when I first heard the story also, I envisioned that just being chaos. Just dirty, nasty chaos. These animals were penned by group in this ark. Or at least that's this organization's understanding of the way they were penned. I mean, all of your primates were penned with other primates, but they were not crossed. They were in their pair in a separate pen. That's just a lot of building. A lot of building. But then we're going to read on here. Chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all of your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all this earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing that I have made, I will blot out from the face of this ground. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Now, you know, I have a lot of questions as far as how that all went down. Obviously, from the way it's portrayed at the Ark Encounter, these birds had to be caught to be put in their pens. Did Noah know how to sex these birds to make sure he was getting a male and female pair? And again, just questions I have. You know, in the lions, did God anoint two lions and that's all that came to the ark? It was just two? Again, God's plan. Why did it take seven pairs of clean animals? Anybody know the answer to that? Here's what I have gathered from all the research and being there. Seven pairs were because, number one, if they needed to sacrifice anything, they had to sacrifice. Number two, probably number 1B, that's what they ate, along with the grains and the vegetables. But the seven clean pairs, they ate. Anybody know how long Noah was on the ark for? Huh? It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. That's a misconception, too, because I was, a month and a half, he was off the ark. 351 days. Almost a year. Almost a year. And again, my mind goes to, man, I know how bad my barn gets. But God's plan, at least the way they present it there was such detail. They had a pulley system that took care of all their water needs, and it took care of all their waste needs, but somebody still had to run the shovel. I don't care how good you had to plan. There's only eight of them. So, man, that's a lot of work for a 500-year-old man and three 100-year-old sons. Huh. Do you ever wonder why those guys live so long? I don't know. I mean, 500 years. Listen, 100 years old for us today is a long time. In the beginning of the passage, it said it'd be 120 years. But he used guys that were all over that age for this part of the Bible history. You know, those dudes weren't on blood pressure meds. They weren't on any kind of medicine. You know what they ate? Grains, red meat. But you know what they didn't have? They didn't have all the junk we have in our food. Now, I don't want to do this experiment because I don't want to live to be 500 years old. Unless I can be like Noah and still build an ark at 500 years old. But man, how cool would it be to just eat nothing but pure meat and pure vegetables, no junk, no fillers, no additives, no preservatives. That's the way it was meant to be. But then sinful man got involved and figured out we can make food last way longer. We can make food that tastes better. We can make food that we can freeze now without worrying about anything. And we add all this junk to it. And now we get modern day man. You know, do you ever see do you ever imagine a chunky guy in the Bible? I never read anywhere where it said this man was a huge fat guy like Matt. Never read anywhere. And when I imagine Noah, I don't imagine that he's super thick. I imagine he's strong. Daniel was strong. David was strong. I don't know. Simple living. Simple living back then. Except for he had to build an ark at 500 years old. But God didn't just take the animals that were chosen. And I think that's important. Because God could have just said, hey, I just want you to take all the animals that are good and put them on that ark. I don't want the snakes. I don't want the alligators. I don't want the what was that one we saw, Chris? It was a hideous looking animal. And I can't remember what the name of it was. But it was like a hyena, but it wasn't called a hyena, but it was just a hideous looking animal. God could have just chosen the beautiful things, the beautiful animals, the animals that he didn't. Why? Because understand that God's plan is for all of mankind. It's just not for the pretty people, the Christians. It's not just for, it's for all of mankind. So God's plan for salvation for us as humankind is for everyone. So he included all of the animals. And I find that kind of be, because he could have eliminated some pretty bad things at that point and been like, okay, you're just no longer going to exist. But he didn't, because that was their second chance at a great life. And guys, understand that our second chance is through Jesus Christ. When he came and covered all our sins on that cross, he took care of it. So yeah, you might think it's goofy that I'm tying in Noah, but Noah, there's a lot to learn from Noah. Let's move on. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day of all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered into the ark. And they and every beast according to its kind, and all livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You know, also down there is there's this big door, and that's the entry door. And it's huge. I don't even know the size of it, but it's 15 feet by 30 feet, probably. 30 feet. The plan that God had for them to shut that, again, with no modern day tools, that was just brute strength. Brute strength and lever, probably a lever system of some sort, I would assume. Pretty cool. Pretty cool how the plan worked. The flood, in verse 17, the flood continued 40 days on earth. The waters increased and bore up on the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them up 15 cubits deep. So the highest mountain was covered 15 cubits deep, which would be 30 feet. Okay, so deeper than two swimming pools, the water was above the highest mountain. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high I already read that. And all the flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, and all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all of mankind. Verse 22. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth for 150 days. In verse 8, or chapter 8, we got time. The flood subsides. You know, the other interesting thing that I found about this was, and again, things you don't think about. In this ark, they had a blacksmith shop, they had a wood shop, they had other things that they needed, and I never thought about that, but then I thought, you know, Matt, you have a small amount of animals at your barn, and they tear your barn up. Can you imagine what, I don't know what the number is, 2,500 animals are going to do to a ship? So, yeah, they had to have stuff, and they had to carry provisions for that. But Noah's training ran pretty deep. God had been in this plan for a long time. Anybody know what Noah did for a living? Obviously, he had some carpentry skills. He also worked as a midshipman at one point, and he learned about boats. He also worked as a blacksmith at one point, and learned how to form iron and steel. God's plan is perfect. And you know, when Noah was switching jobs, he probably didn't think about anything, right? Job opened up, he took it, and he went on. But it was all training for the big job God had for Noah. And I thought that was pretty cool. The other thing that amazed me about this was, and I thought about it, but I've never really thought about it. I just figured they stowed away in a corner. Man, they had their own little, like, house section of the boat. And it was pretty nice. And again, because God thought of everything, in their kitchen, they had an herb wall that was in the direct sunlight of the skylights so that sun could come in and make these plants grow. And then they took their vegetables and whatever right off that wall, and it was pretty sweet. I was amazed. We spent about 3 hours there. I probably could have spent 15 or 20 if they'd have let me stay past hours. Just a neat experience. So if you ever get the chance, go down and see that, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's get back to this, the finish here. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. Any of you that used to play baseball or softball at Northmoor, you know what that's like, because we used to, before the new fields, we'd be out there with styrofoam cups and buckets, taking water off the infield of the old field. And, you know, I often thought, why don't we have Kokozing on retainer to just bring their helicopter in and just hover above this field to dry it off? Because we were in the lowest spot. The softball field was in the lowest spot, and it just, water sat continuously. And I thought, you know, it hadn't even rained for like 2 days, and the water is just sitting. It's not going anywhere. But God took care of it because he made a wind. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens were restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continuously. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So think about that. You haven't seen any dry ground for 10 months, and then you see the top of a mountain. Huh. You know, when we were traveling, man, all the scenery kind of looked the same, and all when I got to 95 and 71, it was like, I'm home, right? Not because I wanted to come home and get back to work, but because I felt like we were safe at that point. Okay? I felt like, okay, we've traveled 400 and some miles, and God's given us provision, and now we're back home. When you saw those mountaintops, I can't imagine their joy when they looked out and saw their mountaintops. Because I'm just guessing, no matter how sanitary they tried to keep that, it had to just be a stinky mess by the end of 150 days, whatever it was. So, at the end, verse 6 of chapter 8, at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand, and he took her, and he brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he set forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month of on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wives, and his sons' wife, his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with them. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. These were some smart animals. And I relate this to sheep just because that's what I know. When it comes time to let the sheep out of the barn in the spring, and Neil, you can attest to this, you know, it says they came out in families. Those ewes that have been penned up since November, when you open them up, they forget all about their lambs, and they are gone. They don't care about the lambs at that point. The lambs will follow, but then there's always that period of just incessant baying or murmuring or whatever you want to call it, that the lambs are trying to find their mother, and the mother's got a mouthful of green grass. They don't care about them lambs. But they eventually find each other again. So these were some smart animals because they go out in families, and they just, I mean, I can envision it. They're coming off that ramp, and they're just taking their good old time, just meandering down nice and slow and easy. Man, if I open that barn door, those sheep are gone. They don't even wait for me to open the door. They're banging into the door and everything else. And we're like that. You know, if I'd been on that boat for so long, I'd been like, get me out of here. Number one, I'm so thankful God didn't choose me to go on that boat. I'm not a big fan of boats. My wife even less. And that's a big boat. But I still don't think I could have done it. Noah had the willingness to carry out God's plan. And he was rewarded by He was the father, basically, of humankind. There's a section in there where it told about Ham and Japheth and the other one's wives. And it broke it down into, okay, she was of whatever descent. And Ham and his wife basically were responsible for repopulating the South African region. I thought that was kind of neat because I'm a history guy, again. But I thought that was kind of neat how they tied that all in. And I don't know if it's true or not. It doesn't say in here. So I don't know. But it makes sense, I guess. But they were all different. But they all had one job to do. And that was to be fruitful and multiply when they left. And we're going to just read here verse 9, or chapter 9, verses, a couple verses. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish in the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I give you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of a man. Whoever sheds the blood of a man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast on the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. So the rainbow, and you know, we've seen some really beautiful rainbows. And I want you to understand, when God sees that rainbow, he's thinking about you and I, and he's remembering that covenant he made. You know, and I know we say, is it ever going to stop raining? Yes. It's going to stop raining, and when God deems it necessary, the sun's going to come out, and it's going to get hot again so that the grass can grow, the crops can grow, everything can grow. That's just the covenant God has with us. But that rainbow, when we look at it, we should remember that promise God made and understand just how powerful he is. Next time you see a rainbow, I want you to think about, oh, can I see both ends of the rainbow? I want you to think about, you know, that rainbow is right there because God has a promise he made to us. And he is going to keep that promise. Because I'm telling you, I'm sure here lately he's been tempted. But he ain't gonna let go on his word. Because man, we're almost or maybe worse than what those people were then. We deserve what they got. But because of that, we're covered. Because of that, we're covered. And because the tomb was empty, we have the promise to spend eternal life with him. We don't deserve it. We shouldn't be able to do it. But his grace has given us the opportunity to spend eternal life with him. I'm going to close with this. If you don't know that you're going to spend eternal life with our God and Father, it's as simple as acknowledging him today and saying, I want that relationship with our God. You know, all the things he did through Noah, all the things he did through Noah's descendants was because they found favor and they were righteous, which means they were godly people. God wants to have that relationship with you. If you are in a spot where you need to have that conversation, understand that that's a conversation between you and God. But there are three men here, and there's a lot more people than just us three. There are a lot of people in this church that would love to lead you through that relationship starter. And it doesn't have to be any of the three of us. It can be your mom. It can be your uncle. It can be whoever. Make sure you let someone know so that they can pray for you. Because just because you say you want to start that relationship doesn't mean it's going to be rainbows and butterflies. It's kind of like that video. If you were to choose God, it doesn't mean the devil's going to go away. He's still going to be right there on the fence, waiting for you to slip up. Tempting you with everything in your flesh, body, that he knows is your weakness. But we would love to pray with you. We'd love to lead you into that. You know, this story reminds me that God wants everyone to live eternally with him at this point. But he's going to let you choose. He wants you to choose him. And again, if you ever wonder why things go together, Jamie and I didn't talk, praise team and I don't talk. I love the songs we sing, I love the video, and I like the way it ties into the message. And that's not a Matt thing, that's a God thing. Because until Friday evening, Matt had no idea what he was preaching on. Because here's the way that goes. Matt has something he wants to do, and then God smacks me in the head and says, no, I want you to do this. And God always wins. God always wins. Start your relationship with Jesus today if you don't have one. If you do have one, make sure you're putting in the effort and the work. And I'm guilty of that. I get tied up in a lot of things. Make sure you're putting forth the effort and the work. Get into the Word. Spend time with him daily. And he's going to show you every decision you'll ever want to make. He'll show you the right way to go. I'm going to close in prayer. Then we'll sing a song of invitation. And the elders will be here if you need anything. If you need prayer, we'll be here. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the example. We thank you for the ark that we can visually see, just how massive, just how big of an undertaking, how big of a plan you had for us through that ark and through the building of it and through the whole story of the flood, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that you used just a normal guy like Noah. But all he was righteous. Lord, if we put you at the center of our lives, we can do anything through you, Lord. We just love you and we praise you and give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.